You're in bed. It's dark. The kids have been asleep. And all of a sudden, you hear the door open.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, I am going to start off with a song. How's that? Have we ever done that before? I'm going to sing a song.
Alrighty.
Because I've been humming it this morning, even though I'm not really, well, I'll just start with this, that I learned this song in kindergarten.
So it's old enough that there's no problems with any sort of royalties or anything. It's way past 70 years old.
Yeah, so I don't think they could do a search. They're probably like, yeah, that didn't register as anything. So here it is, and you have to do it because you got to kind of, I don't know, is it a beautiful morning there in Cincinnati?
It rained all day yesterday. I haven't even looked outside yet today. I'm in the basement.
Okay, well, it is sunny and it's cool. I don't like that part, but the air is crisp. And so I was just humming this song as I went to the post office this morning at a Dollar General just a few minutes ago to go get a gallon of milk. And this was a song that we sang in kindergarten for a program. And I mean, I remember the words. And because I don't know what the big deal was, but we had to sing it in like an Irish accent. I don't know if that's racist for Americans to sing something and like we're faking everyone out. But I mean, I don't know how you do that in kindergarten. But here's how the song went. Oh, it's good to get up in the morning when the sun begins to shine at 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the good old summertime. But when the snow is falling and it's milky overhead, oh, it's nicer to get up in the morning, but it's nicer to lie in the bed. There you go.
Bravo.
And cool. I can just remember being chosen. Like, I mean, you know, that song was what, maybe 20 seconds? And I guess we had to do a skit, and I was chosen to be the guy who acted it out, and I had to lay down in the bed at the end. And it was just, I was so embarrassed. It was so mortifying. Maybe that's why I remember it. But I've been humming that. Isn't that amazing how you can remember something from kindergarten?
It's the power of music, man.
There it is. There you go. Or maybe the power of being
in your head forever.
Exactly. But I'm not liking this idea that the temperature is changing. I don't want summer to go away.
Boo-hoo. I'm tired of bugs and sweat. I got sunburned big time last weekend. Well, this was loads of fun. So we finally had a soccer game, an actual game for my kids.
That's fun.
We had to go down to Louisville, which is like 2 hours away from me.
I thought it was play. Right next door.
Yeah, no. And we played, they ended up playing two games because we got a second team to play us later in the day. And yeah, it was just blazing hot the whole day. The sun was beating down. And I, of course, being the dad that I am and not paying attention to my wife enough, I guess, I forgot to do sunscreen on me or either of my boys playing soccer or on my daughter who went with us. But she was playing in the shade the whole time. I don't know how she got burnt worse than all of us, but anyway, Katie got burnt worse than I did, and it was very frustrating, and I got in deep trouble. It was really fun. I was up at 6 a.m. to drive my kids to Louisville to play soccer. I did my best all day trying to keep them in the shade. We all still got burnt. I'm getting home cranky, tired, sweaty, stinky. And of course, instead of my wife being, you know, thrilled that I did all this wonderful dad stuff, no, I get in trouble for frying them. I'm sorry, honey, if you're listening. I'll be sorry forever.
So in other words, it was a beautiful day that day.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I'm ready for clouds.
Kind of like Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown, you're the only one who can take a beautiful day and turn it into a
problem.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we started that. I mean, because you're used to that, you know, that travel soccer stuff. We're kind of new at this because Maggie's been playing volleyball. She played volleyball the last 2 years. And I hope no one's listening, but the team she was on was terrible. I mean, they were just terrible. I think they only won one game in the 2 years that she played. Well, she's on a different team now, and they are amazing. I mean, she's on the junior varsity, and her team killed the public school team because they're on a homeschool team. They killed the public school team, I think, 25-4 each match. Awesome. But their varsity team, I mean, I can't even imagine a better high school team. I mean, they're so, so good. It was really shockingly amazing how good they were. I mean, these girls who, you know, they're the same size as the junior varsity, but they could cram it. I mean, they were spiking it like it looked like the Olympics. It was amazing. So Maggie has gone from being a loser to being a champion. In fact, she scored the first point of the season for the junior varsity. And so that was fun.
That was the cool thing that happened at the soccer game. Luke scored the first goal of the season for his team.
You go. You know, and I'm even thinking, Scott, we need to, you know how, like, to me, it just feels like the media is still holding back the world. They I think we need to start talking in with confident, you know, just assertions that say, hey, I heard this thing's about ready to end anyway. And just say it. We don't have to defend it. We don't have to, we're going back to normal. Yeah. And then so if enough people say it, I think it has to be so.
As soon as the election's over, it'll be normal again.
There you go. It's going to be. I want it before then.
Before we get off this, though, you have 8 kids. I'm pretty sure there's more than one dad out there wanting to know how you managed to not get into sports until this era.
Well, because we have traveled all over the country in an RV, and it just wasn't available. We couldn't do it. And really, none of our kids were fine with that. Nobody complained. And it was really an amazing blessing because, I mean, it is. I can feel it starting. My youngest son, Jed, he was made for playing sports, but we're still holding back. We give him some because I just have heard too many, not horror stories, but that run ragged story where just like, we're just gone all the time. And I mean, I don't think that's the flavor of our family. Our family's not a every sport all the time kind of family. So some people like it.
I think one of the first times you and I talked, you mentioned that you guys just weren't into sports like that.
Right.
And I've tried to remember that and like kind of model my own parenting in terms of sports anyway after that attitude, because I've seen plenty of families where, you know, I mean, they are, their whole life is soccer or football or whatever, and it's like they're determined their kid's going to be a, you know, an Olympian or a pro athlete or whatever, and it's like you do realize the odds of that are so small. Like, I out of all the kids I know, there's one person I know who might have a chance at making it to the NFL. Yeah. And that's because his dad was in the NFL and his uncle was in the NFL.
Yeah,
he's been training with, I mean, he's met, you know, like he met Tom Brady when he was like 10 or something, you know, I mean, this
genetics
kid,
helps in that too.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been doing like NFL camps and whatever since he was a kid. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but it just doesn't happen, well, man.
And for me, you know, I played all the sports and they were fun, but I just wasn't very super competitive. What I didn't see the importance of it. I didn't see, you know, like how it really mattered. You know, I know families who have a child who, you know, they might be the state Mr. or Mrs. Basketball or Mr. or Mrs. Football or Mr. or Mrs. Whatever. But, you know, you have to give up so much and then it ends there. And if you become a, you know, like you said, there just aren't many people who go beyond that. I even think, or you said the Olympics. I wrote a story. I don't think it's in anything. Oh, yeah, it is. It's in my Bathroom Book of Fathering. But just about this Olympian. She was a lady. And it was years ago. Our kids were little. And you know how like they'll have like that little docudrama right before the event, and they'll kind of highlight, you know, this one player, and they go back to their hometown in Gustav, Germany, or wherever, and they do, you know, they play some music and they interview her, and then they go back to the starting line, and then they start the, you know, the event. Mm-hmm. They'll do that like for Michael Phelps and all those, but it was just like this lady, she was doing cross country and they were interviewing her, or they did that little docudrama at the beginning, and it was her training, you know, in the cold winter. And then she goes back to this cabin and she's got this little daughter who's like three or four. And there's another lady there who's kind of like, she's the nanny. She's taking care of this daughter while this mom is training her guts out for this long. And this woman looks hard. I mean, she looks like she, you know, ate bark and spent her nights out in the wilderness in the snow.
Wait, the mom or the nanny?
The mom. And so, yeah, not the nanny. I don't know what she, I don't remember what she looked like. But this mom at one point said, I'm really not a very good mother. And then it kind of finishes up and it goes to the event. And so this lady who they've just done this whole thing on, she's like the favorite to win this, whatever race it is, with skis on. She's at the starting line. They're all lined up and they go bang. And then bang, there was a double bang, bang, bang. And the lady who was a star, she was disqualified from, she jumped too soon. Yikes. She didn't get a second chance. She was disqualified. She didn't even get to run her race. And I thought, man, she spent all this time, did a lousy job as parenting by her own admission, and she didn't even get the satisfaction of running and doing the race. And I thought, you know, whether she won a gold medal or a zero medal, it just wasn't worth it. And that's kind of been my thoughts, you know, ever since. You know, I think sports are fun, and, you know, if you have a kid who can do it, and, you know, I'm big and I like family time. You know, our kids play volleyball as a family all the time. But we did have some time, so Maggie's playing volleyball, and our other kids have played, you know, upwards and YMCA basketball, which is like an 8-week season, which is the way it should be. Hey, but you were talking about earlier, you said something about, oh, you're glad that the bugs are gone now.
They'll be going away soon, hopefully.
They're going away. I'll tell you, it's happening. I made a point in the summer. I didn't do it on purpose, but I noticed when I saw my first lightning bugs, I wrote down the date. I wrote down the date of June 4th. That was the first lightning bug I saw. Last night, on August the 18th, I was walking to my barn, the Family Man barn, in the dark, and I saw a lightning bug. And I was like, oh, there's still lightning bugs. And I kind of caught it in my hand real quick and then just let it go. It's just right in front of me. I was in the barn for, for maybe an hour. And it was about 10 o'clock when I left. And I walked out and I looked around and it was totally pitch dark. Mm-hmm. And I looked around to see if there were any more lightning bugs, and there were none. And it just struck me like that was it. If there were any dads out there who had said, oh, we're going to catch lightning bugs and put them in a jar, it's over.
You missed it. Forget it.
You missed it. And you missed it. And you know, that's
probably
sad to me.
Die before next year because of this disease, and you will never get to do lightning bugs with your kids.
That's true. But luckily, the disease is over, and it's getting better. And
okay, I should probably fire myself for that one. Sorry, man.
But there is that sense to me of you never know about next year. You know, you think, oh, we'll do it next year, but it just might not happen. And that's kind of sobering to me. I wish it was sobering enough that I did something about it, you know, but I still do that all the time. I still like, oh, we should do that. We should do that. And then like, man, that time is over now.
There will probably be lightning bugs in heaven, Todd, just for you.
Well, that's very wishful thinking, Scott, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait and see. So the other thing that, I was going to ask you too, Scott, before I did the other thing. I was going to ask you, how's the engagement? You know, it's been about a week since the engagement. Have you guys kicked into full gear? Has that become their conversation all the time?
Yeah, pretty much. It's nonstop wedding planning, and I'm just trying to stay out of the way and not get run over.
Have a date?
I don't know if they have the exact date. It's next May sometime.
Hey, that'll be that. So that gives you plenty of time to beat it into the ground.
Yeah. Yep.
It's fun. It really is. But I know, like, on all the weddings, I was always glad when it was like finally here, because I'm like, we can't talk about this anymore. Okay, we just got to go and do it.
Yeah.
Exciting days, though. Exciting days. Hey, but what we had.
There's a question for you. I was talking to another dad who, but he asked me when the wedding date was going to be, and I told him the rough plan, and he was like, you know, it's hard to get kids to commit to anything nowadays, and they take forever to do this stuff. And he said, when I met my wife, we met, had a few dates, and then we're apart for a while because she went to school or something. And basically then we got engaged, and we were married from the day we met to the day we got married was less than a year.
Wow.
And they've been married for over 30 years now, I think. And, and I just wondered if that's a common thing or not. Because it does seem like people take forever nowadays, and everybody gets all stressed out when it's like, oh no, you're rushing it, you're rushing it. And like, yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, I have a nephew who met his fiance at Catherine's wedding in March, and they're going to be married in this December. So less than a year. But you know, you read, I get Reminisce Magazine, which is an old people's magazine. And man, you hear a lot of those. We met on Thursday and 2 months later we were married. And we've been married 67 years. So
right. I don't get that magazine yet.
I do. It's like AARP only on steroids.
am I going to get that when I turn 50?
Probably not.
Oh, all right.
But this is just an interesting thought. And I thought my pastor kind of got it right. He was saying that, we keep saying how millennials, it's taking longer and longer for them to grow up. And then he made the conclusion. He said, you know, he had just read a book that said, usually you have two, like if you have a timeline, you can see it on the screen. But if you have this, like this maturity line, of where, you know, you're a little baby and it grows until you're super, super mature. He said, it's not like a gradual thing. He said, what experts have found is that you're like growing along and then all of a sudden you get married and it goes up, you know, and then it goes kind of gradual and then you have your first child and it goes up and then over. And he was making the conclusion that maybe some of our millennials are not growing, are not as mature as they should be or putting that off is because they're putting off marriage and they're putting off having children till later. And so they're just not hitting those peaks as quick, you know, which I thought was an interesting thought. Interesting thought.
That's true, man. You're forced to grow up especially when you have a kid. When you get married, you know, you have to be an adult and pay the insurance and things like that. But when you have a kid, it's like, there's nobody who's going to take care of it for you.
right. And you do. I mean, yeah. And which brings me great hope for, you know, my children, and it should bring you great hope for your children because, you know, I know some of you parents are thinking, oh, my child is about to get married and they're just, you know, they've never even paid a bill before. You know, when you're thrust into marriage, there is a growing up curve. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might have to miss a couple bills and have some payment. I know, like, well, I think when I went into marriage, when I got home from my honeymoon, I think I had 10 overdrafts of my bank account, you know, that were like $1.58. I mean, the account couldn't have had $150 in it. But, you know, I learned a lot through that little experience. And so will your kids. Hey, but let's talk about one more thing before we go. Last night, or maybe two, couple nights ago.
Have you talked about anything yet?
No, we haven't. Want me to sing my song again? I'm a little teapot, short and stout.
Not that one. Wait, we'll get in trouble.
Scott lives on the edge of terror all the time. He remasters any pop cultural music things just so that cannot be searched out.
I'll edit that out and put one of my songs in there.
There you go. Hey, has anybody contacted you about making that into a video yet?
Nope.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, again.
The whole internet yawned and gave me crickets.
No, I told you. I thought it was great. And I was humming it for a while until it was replaced by a song that I sang in kindergarten. but I still think we need someone to master video around that. So I'll see what I can do, Scott. But if you're interested, contact Scott and he'll give you the email address or contact me. You know where to find me. Okay. Yes, we were to talk about nothing important, but we're going to talk about one more thing. And that's, you know, Scott, there are a couple sounds a parent dreads to hear. If you were to, you know, if you were to guess, and I don't mean like phrases like, "Dad, hey, I'm this," but what are the, what is a sound that you dread to hear? Can you think? There's no right answer.
There's a whole bunch of them.
Okay. Like what?
Mind. They generally revolve around my wife yelling something.
And it's usually my name. Why did you put on their sunscreen?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it's more just that sigh.
Oh, yeah. That, like, you're like right
when
on.
I walk through the door.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. But the kind of sound that I hate, and I haven't heard it for a while until the other night, was you're in bed, it's dark, the kids have been asleep, and all of a sudden you hear the door open.
Oh, no.
You know, because it's, in our house, it's really, there's one of two things. One, like, Maggie came, you know, or you hear that, yeah, in the bathroom. The
yeah.
But Maggie was like, I can remember one time she was little and she's like 3 inches from my face. And she goes, "Dad, I feel like I have to throw up." And I could just feel her breath covering my face. And now we make them wear masks when they're in our house. The other one is, and that's bad because I just, you know, I start going through, oh, did they make it to the bathroom? You know, do I have to go clean it up? But the worst one is the one that happened the other night when one of our kids came in, a younger kid came in, and they immediately, you could tell something was up. Sometimes they're delirious, you know, and they're like, "They're trying to kill me," you know, or they can't find something, you know, and it's, they're scared. You know, I don't like that one. But this one was, you could tell that they were on the verge of ready to confess something. And I just hate that moment. And the child, you know, said that they had been on, you know, Amazon Prime, on our television, and they can't get on anything because we have the, you know, password. They don't know the passwords. But you can watch previews, and they were crying and confessing and saying, "I'm so sorry. I looked at some things," you know, and, you know, that's not, it's not abnormal. I mean, that's what kids do. I mean, all my kids have had one of those confessions or maybe more, but it was a reminder to me just to talk about it, Dad, to make sure you're guarding your home. Because we cannot cover all the loops. I mean, I've had kids get in things that were, you know, whether it's Wikipedia. And if you think that's no big deal, it's a huge deal. You can find things that are just, even as fathers, should never view, you know, or other places, even Google Earth, you could go into Street View. You can walk into certain places, you know, and see things that you should not see. And, you know, I don't know how our kids find them, or they just stumble upon them. But once they stumble upon them, I mean, and you felt this too, Dad, you know, or you've stumbled upon something and then you know the way back. So I am just encouraging you, dads, to, you know, maybe take a little virtual tour in your head of things that maybe you've let slide. Like maybe you don't have a password on your computer. Like the one I'm doing this on right now, it's out in our barn. You know, I didn't have a password for a while. And you think, oh, our kids wouldn't do that. My kids did, you know, because they knew. And so, you know, there's a password on it now. They can't get that. And they're thankful for that because they don't want to view it anyway. But sometimes we don't remove that temptation. And again, if you think your kids, if you're stupid enough, Dad, to think, oh, my kids need to learn how to stand up to it, they're going to fail. I mean, you know how many dads I've said, oh yeah, we let our kids do whatever on their phones because we know they're going to have to. And then later on, those kids come back and, you know, they'll say, I can't, you know, you got to take my phone away because I can't stop it. We need to help them until they mature and ask hard questions. I mean, I wrote all my boys just 2 days ago and said, hey, just a reminder, make sure you're reading your Bibles, you know, make sure you're staying in the Word, make sure you're guarding yourself, because I just keep getting, you know, emails from dads who have been destroyed by, you know, some really bad habits and getting into pornography or other stuff. So dad, you know, check your homes and then check yourself, you know, because it's a reminder that I once heard someone say, if you're sneaking stuff, you know, chances are they're going to too. If you need some help or if you just need to tell someone, you can tell me, or you can just tell your friend, you know, and figure it out together. Figure it out together. Which reminds me, I just got an email maybe a week or two ago, and I should have passed this on earlier. And he even asked us to pray for him. And he asked, you know, for me to let you guys know. I won't give you his name. He says this: I'm emailing you today because I'm in trouble. I need your prayers. It isn't the kind of trouble that I'm sure you get emailed about from time to time where someone is sick and things are out of their control. Nope. This trouble is all self-inflicted. And I've made a mess of my life. 15 plus years of being dishonest with my wife, primarily about pornography and smoking weed, he says, has left our marriage a flaming garbage heap. Just when I regain some semblance of trust for my wife, I do something to derail things again. We're in a bad place. We also have four incredible children who are caught up in all of this. I'm a self-loathing mess who can't seem to get out of my own way when it comes to trying to fix my life. FYI, I know I can't do it on my own and that I need the Lord's strength, but I haven't figured out how to let him help me either. I am selfish and sick. I don't want to continue to treat my marriage like an afterthought, and I don't even know that I'm painting an accurate picture here. I'm leaving out any of the good stuff that I think I've done for over the last 15 plus years, but quite honestly, I think all that has been negated by this sin I've trafficked in. I don't know what else to say. I could go on and on with details and details, but I just wanted to reach out and ask you to pray, and those of anyone else who can convince to pray for a miserable sinner. My wife appears to be at her wit's end, and I'm scared. I'm a drowning man, and I've dragged my wife and likely our kids along for this spiral down. Dad, maybe we'll just close in that, because this dad is no different than you or me, and you know, it doesn't take very many bad choices to start down a path before we find ourselves in the same place. And I think we should pray for him. Scott, I'll have you pray for him. And in fact, I'll just give you his first initial. We'll just call him M for Mike. We can just call him Mike. We'll call him Mike. And let's just pray for him and maybe use his email as a warning that we need to guard our homes, guard ourselves. If you have older kids, maybe you just check up on them as well. Again, you're not controlling them, but you can still warn them and urge them. So Scott, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll close this thing out.
Alrighty. Our Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Jesus, thank you for laying down your life for us. We're all miserable sinners, Lord. That phrase just hit me right in the heart. That could apply to me any day of the week. And Lord, I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And I pray that you would pour that out on Mike and on his family. And I especially pray for his wife, that you would give her an abundance of grace and mercy with him, because he's going to need it from her as well as you, Lord. And I pray that you would fill their family with your spirit and bind the enemy, Lord. We bind the enemy in the name of Jesus and rebuke him from our families, Lord. Right now, Jesus, we just claim your power and your victory over sin and death. We ask that you would bless Mike and his family and make this a turning point and a new chapter in their life as a family, Lord. And we pray your protection, that you would guard our hearts and our minds, and come back soon, Lord. We need you and we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hey, while we were praying, it reminded me too that we need to pray for Jason. Remember we prayed for Jason and his son, Samuel.
Yeah.
Samuel has a brain tumor. I just checked in with Jason this past week and just a few days ago, actually. And he said his son is starting to lose his balance. He can't ride his bike anymore. He's having trouble, you know, even climbing the ladder into his bunk bed. And he said, I assume, you know, that's the progression of this disease. But continue to pray for that dad and that son and that family. And dad, I just hope that maybe you're feeling like you need prayer too. If you ever need some prayer, please contact me at familyman@familymanweb.com. You're not alone. They're just dads facing everything. It's just common to man. But don't grow weary. Don't stop, dad. You keep fighting for your family. If you've done some stupid stuff, which we all have, you take your punches and you stay in there and you take your punches and you stay in there and you never, ever give up. You know why you don't give up? Because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.